Good evening. Some weeks ago, Naomi Haley, she cooked a pie. We was having a gathering after morning service. She cooked the pie, and I saw the pie, and I didn't know that she had cooked the pie. I walked by the pie, and it looked very tempting. It looked very good. And I asked that question, you know, who cooked it? And Naomi said that she cooked. And I asked that very stupid question a man should never ask. How does it taste? Well, evidently she was going to say it tasted good because she cooked it. So I got in line. I went down the buffet line. And I tried it. I got a piece of the pie. And I sat down. And she was right. It was good. It was so good that I snuck back. You may call it greed. I snuck back and got me another piece of that pie. It really was good. I just could not take her word for it, saying that the pie was good. I had to go and actually taste the pie myself. Someone else could not taste that pie for me and tell me whether it was good or not, because you know and I know our tastes are different. There are some things I like when it comes to food and some things you don't like. Like, I know a man here who don't like onions. But I like onions. I'm one who detests and hates butter. And I'm quite sure that most of you in here like butter. But when it comes to tasting, you need to go and taste it for yourself and know how it tastes. And that leads me to our discussion this evening. If you remember, over the last couple of months, I've been dealing with the senses, the human senses. We've talked about hearing. We did the hearing test. A while back, we did the one on seeing, the seeing test. Now, this evening, it's going to be, you guessed it, the taste test. The taste test, spiritually. The spiritual taste test. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. In Psalm chapter 34, as you read from verse 1 down through about verse number 8, or you keep on reading, read the whole chapter. The psalmist, he's thankful for God for delivering him from some trouble or some trial, something that happened along his way in his life. But there at verse number 8 of Psalms 34, he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." First of all, when thinking of the spiritual taste test, the idea of tasting the Lord. The word taste there carries with it the concept of try, perceive, discover for yourself. Taste of the Lord. Each and every one of us here who are Christians, who have obeyed the gospel, who have become the new creature, we have tasted, we have tried the Lord for ourselves. Now you and I are trying in our day-to-day life to get other people to do the same. To try to taste of the Lord, for he is good. The question is, why? Why are we, or rather, why should someone be encouraged to taste and try the Lord? Well, in chapter 34, there's several reasons here we'll look at. If we look at all the reasons throughout the Bible, we could be here a long time. First of all, in Psalm chapter 34, there at verse number 8, he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You know and I know, we who have become Christians, we've came to understand through reading the scriptures and searching and digging in the scriptures that God is good. That he is a good God. From Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, it shows and declares very clearly that God is a good God. So here's one of the reasons why we're trying to get people to taste and try God, for he is a good God. For he is good. Going back to Psalms 34, at the ending of verse number 8, blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste of the Lord, because the man who trusts in him has true happiness. For the Lord is a true source of happiness. Taste of the Lord, for he is good. Taste of the Lord, for he is a true source of happiness. There's a lot of things in this world that can give you happiness, but most of it won't last for long. Most of the things in this world that brings a temporal joy to you and I and to those of the world. But here, when we look at what the psalmist says, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, rather, happy is a man who puts his trust in him. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Oh, taste the Lord because he's good. Oh, taste and try God because he is the true source of happiness. Going back to Psalms 34, he goes on to say, verse number 9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, there is no want to those who fear him. There's another reason there why we encourage and teach people to stop and try God. Not only is he good, not only is he a true source of happiness, but he is sufficient to meet your needs. Sufficient to meet your needs. We remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But prior to that, those verses before that, Jesus talks about the needs of man. Food, clothing, and shelter. And then Jesus concludes by saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, that God will provide for those who trust in him. Oh, taste God. Taste the Lord, for he is good. Taste the Lord, for he is sufficient. Oh, taste of the Lord, for he is true happiness to those who put their trust in him. As we encourage people to try God, taste him. We tell them that he is good, that he is a true source of happiness. He is sufficient for those who trust in him. And going back to 34 again, start verse number 16. 15, really. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and deliver them out of all their troubles. Another reason there why one should try and taste of the Lord is that he is for the righteous. That he is for the righteous. His eyes are on the righteous. His ears are open to the righteous. But to the wicked, his face is turned away from them. Spiritual taste test. First of all, taste of the Lord because he's good. Taste of the Lord because he's a true source of happiness. Taste of the Lord, for he is sufficient for our lives, for the needs of our lives. Oh, taste of the Lord, for he is for the righteous. And Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18. Starting at verse number 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The psalmist there displays the attitude of one who have tried the Lord, one who have put their trust in the Lord, one who have tasted of the Lord. And it gives what I refer to as some reasons. He says that God is his strength. God is his rock. God is his fortress. God is his deliverer, his trust, his shield, his horn of salvation, his stronghold. You and I, as we stop and we think about our lives, that we've placed our trust in God, we've tasted of God, and we can stop and realize and remember that the times in which we were weak, we trusted in God. The times in which our lives may have been somewhat shaky, we held on and built our life on the solid rock, a place of a stronghold. The word stronghold there in the Old King James translates high tower, place of safety. For those who trust in the Lord, tasted of the Lord, tried the Lord, he is a place, stronghold for you and I. And that's what we're trying to get the rest of the world to understand. Taste of the Lord. Try him so he can be your strength. Try him so he can be that which you build your life on, that solid rock. Try him so he can be your fortress. Try him so he can be your shield. Try him so he can be that stronghold in time of troubles, in times of needs, in times of days that's not so good. Oh, taste of the Lord. Moving on to the next point, when we think of spiritual taste test, not only taste of the Lord, taste of his word. The Lord and his words go hand in hand. If you taste of the Lord, you must taste of his word. You must spend time enjoying, eating, and taking in the word of God. Oh, taste of his word. You remember when Jesus is confronted by Satan. Satan says, I can turn these stones into bread. And Jesus answered and said, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus shows the importance of man physically having bread. But yet more important, he shows the importance of man spiritually having a need for the word of God. You and I, we strive to encourage and to teach people the taste of his word. Open up the Bible, try it, spend time in it. Taste of his word. In 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1. Start at verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flowers of the grass. The grass wither and its flowers fade away, falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Peter says a lot of things there about the word of God. A lot of things that we can tell others that could be a reason as to why you should taste the word of God. Peter speaks of the word of God as being that which purifies. He speaks of the word of God as being that which is the truth. He speaks of the word of God, that which by obeying bring forth a new birth. And Peter goes on, he speaks of the word of God as that which is alive. goes on, he speaks last of all, he speaks of the word of God as that which endures forever, abides forever, or rather that which is eternal. Oh, taste of the word of God. Oh, taste of the word of God. Why? Because some of these things, it's eternal. If you follow it, bring forth that new life. It's the truth. By following it, purifies the soul. Oh, taste of his word. And the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15. Very encouraging words from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15. Start at verse number 16. Jeremiah says, your word was found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Oh, how beautiful. Jeremiah speaks of the word of God. He ate them. He took them in. He said that they were joy and rejoicing to his heart. Jeremiah does not seem to be a person who's dismayed with the word of God. He seemed to be one who's happy with the word of God. They took in. They tried. He took it in. As we encourage people to taste of the Lord, we also encourage them to taste of his word, to try it, to take it in. And let it bring you joy and rejoicing. In Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. If you want to find a beautiful chapter that describes the word of God, chapter 19 will be the place to go. We start at verse number 7 and go all the way down. But we'll start at verse number 10. It says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. The psalmist who have tried the word of God, he brings some things to the forefront that's worth of holding on to. First of all, he says there, he compared it with silver and gold, showing how valuable it is. Taste of the word of God because it's valuable. He says, compare it to silver and gold. Then he goes on, he says about the word of God that by it we are warned. Safety. By following the word of God, it keeps us safe from sin. The word of God warns us of the dangers of hell, warns us of Satan and all the traps he has for us. As we share with other people and tell them, oh, taste of the word of God because it's valuable. Taste of the word of God because it warns you. Last of all, he says there, by keeping it, there's a great reward. There are rewards that we have here while we presently live as Christians, but even greater than the rewards that we have here is a great reward that God has for us in heaven. Oh, taste of this word. As we encourage people, take the spiritual taste test. Taste to try God. Not only that, taste and try his holy scriptures. They're valuable. They're used to warn us. And keeping and holding on to them, we have a great reward. Now, thirdly, as you think about the spiritual taste test, we try to get people to taste and try the Lord's church. To try the Lord's church. encourage people to stop following false teaching, stop following the doctrine of men, and try the Lord's church. Some people say, well, how do we know the Lord's church? How can we find the Lord's church? Isn't one church just as good as another? How do we know that the Lord has a church? Well, simply, all they have to do is go to the scriptures. We encourage them to go to Matthew chapter 16. Sorry, verse number 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus makes a promise that he will build his church. And as you flip through the Bible, you see it in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, you see where the church coming to existence. In Acts chapter 2, you start verse number 38. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. How beautiful. The beginning of the church, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, and the people want to know, what shall they do to be saved? And he told them. But then you drop down around about verse number 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. There it is, the church. Jesus promised the church came into existence on the day of Pentecost, and that's what we teach and tell people, to taste and try the Lord's church. It exists. Go to the scriptures. You can find it, the New Testament church. Oh, taste the Lord's church. Try it. You tried every other denomination out there. Now let's try a real church. Let's try the Lord's church. Let's become part of the church that Jesus built and not built by man. Why? Can you give them reason as to why they should become part of the Lord's church? Why they should taste and try the Lord's church? Well, some of the reason is, first of all, is because its doctrine is good and healthy. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Another reason is because the Lord's church, if you find the Bible, it respects biblical authority. The things that the Lord's church did in the Bible, New Testament church, was done according to God's will. We, the Lord's church today, does the same. What we teach, what we preach, what we practice, it is according to Scripture. Is authorized by Scripture, not authorized by man. Another reason as to why people ought to taste and try the Lord's church is that the worship is right. The worship in the Lord's church is right. It's according to Spirit and truth. John 4:24. It's not just feeling. It's just not something we created and made up. It is according to Spirit and truth. Taste the Lord Church. Give it a try. Why? Give it a try because the Lord Church is where the saved are found. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. That's where the saved are found. Oh, taste the Lord Church. Try it. Give it a chance. Spiritual taste test. Taste of the Lord. After one taste and try the Lord, you need to go a step further and taste of his word. Try his words. Taste it. And after that, go on a step further and taste the Lord's church. Try it. Become a member of the Lord's church. See, when Jesus returned, he's coming back for the church in which he established. As we close, think about this thought here. Don't wait until you die to then try God. It's too late then. While you're alive, now you make decision. You may be here this evening, and you're not a member of the Lord's church. You're not a member of this church I've just talked about. Church that we find in the New Testament church. The New Testament. The church that we find having its establishment on the day of Pentecost. You may not be a part of that church, but you can become a member of the Lord's church. It's pretty simple. The Bible says you must hear, you must believe, you must repent, you must confess, and then you must be baptized, washing your sins away, rising up a new creature, willing to live the rest of your life, holding on to God's word, trusting in God, and holding on and being a member of the Lord's church and defending and teaching the things that the Bible says about the Lord's church. Remember, as I said earlier, when Jesus comes back, he's going to only take back his church. You may be here this evening and you're a member of the Lord's church. That's great. But if there are things in your life that's wrong, things in your life that's sinful, you are encouraged to repent. Turn away from those sins. Make things right with you and God. You may be here this evening and you're just weak and you desire the prayers of the congregation. Please let it be known so we can pray for you, so we can travel this journey together. That on the day of judgment, you and I, and all of us in here, can make it to heaven. Isn't that our goal? If you're just coming here to pass time away or to maybe please someone else, you're wasting your time. Hopefully you're coming here because you love God, you love his word, and that you want to be right on the day of judgment so you can enjoy your eternal home in heaven. Don't gamble with it because you're going to lose if you're unfaithful. The day of judgment. Shall we sing?